I just hit record on mine.
Same.
So I was, yeah.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
All right. So, and
am I doing the intro?
Three. I'm gonna do it. I don't trust you.
I can do it. I'm gonna do it.
You're not doing
keep
it.
Keep it.
Three, oh my God, I never do intros. Let
two,
me do
this. This is the intro. Well, that's one. This is the intro, basically.
Yo, yeah. Darko's gonna cut this in as the intro.
I always do.
Yes.
Welcome.
Are we doing the Sup Nerds?
We have to do.
No, this is like a not a real episode though.
Alright, sup nerds, welcome to what might turn into episode 14 or 13, I don't know what, a powerful power metal podcast.
It's like episode 13A.
13A. Nah,
we'll figure that out later.
We're
episode.
Figuring that out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we are here in the IRL physical studio right after day one of Prog Power USA 20.
You know how physical it is?
Ow.
That's how physical.
Are you just,
that's
a good one. It sounds like you're jacking me off.
Well, I mean, maybe. Who knows? What happens in Atlanta stays in Atlanta.
This is the
except for
worst
Florida.
Episode.
Yeah.
So anyway.
We're all here in Atlanta.
So tonight we've got Darko.
Hello.
Zelda fan.
That's me.
Special guest Drunk Ben Lacey.
Yeah.
Coil.
Yes.
Pizzor.
Oh.
Some throwbacks. And Tipsy Biscuit at the range.
I think you're beyond tipsy, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, tipsy's coming
in. No, I'm very tipsy. I have come down. It's
sure.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
We're gone up.
You're wearing a Hammerfall shirt, so.
That's just because it's the only shirt that I have.
Nope,
that I'm not planning on wearing later
ever.
This week.
Okay. So.
The only shirt for the entire trip. You're gonna let that soak in all.
I have time. Other shirts.
He's gonna let it
Demon Bitch on Friday with 4 games.
Spoilers.
That made it sound weird. We're coordinating Demon Bitch shirts on Friday. We're not like sharing a shirt. That'd be weird.
That'd be weird.
It would be possible
though. But she's a lot smaller than I am. I don't think we could wear the same
shirt.
Get
a shirt the size.
Unless it's my shirt. But who knows? Anyway.
We're recording this train wreck of an episode after day one of Prog Power. It is 3:22 in the morning. I don't know why we're still up, but we thought it'd be a fun idea to record our thoughts of each day of the show after the craziness had started to settle down. So here we are. And so, guys, how do you feel about day one of Prog Power so far?
Let's start.
Darko.
Okay, I'll start.
Let's
go. I don't understand your U.S. people audiences, why you all stand still while your favorite band is playing, but it was pretty cool, I guess.
Not everyone was standing still.
Everyone was standing still.
No, we definitely stand still.
Well, it depends. I mean, there's like people like throwing the horns and headbanging and singing.
Yeah, but we're not South America.
Do you want more moshing? I think moshing is more prevalent in South America.
I mean, yeah.
And this is a power metal show. You don't get that much there.
Yeah, no. You people are weird. That's so fame.
Especially the proggy bands. Proggy bands aren't gonna get shit.
Well, I understand with proggy bands, but we didn't get it. I don't know. Well, so the bands that we saw today were first Rust the Boss, and then we saw Glory Hammer, and then we saw Nocturnal Rites, and then there was Voyager.
Yes.
And if I'm going to start with this, I'm actually not really familiar with all of that Manowar stuff or anything, but it was cool, old school heavy metal.
I thought it was a solid opener.
It was cool.
Yeah, for sure.
There wasn't a lot of people. I was expecting a lot more people, even for the opener, because it was sold out, and because I didn't know who Voyager was. And then it was nice. And we'll want to just go each of us for each band?
Or should we just get our general thoughts on each band?
Okay, so
guess.
I think that this day didn't have a lot for me in general. I enjoyed Glory Hammer's show. And I wasn't in the mood for what Voyager does, so I kind of skipped on that.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a nice experience.
Zelda fan.
Yeah, so we started with Ross the Boss. Didn't know most of the Manowar stuff that they played. I knew some of it. I think my favorite part of them was their singer, very high energy. Met him after the show, very nice guy. I wish I knew his name.
Do you remember his name?
Does anyone know his name?
That's a dumb question asking Drunk Ben Lacey.
We could have Googled it many times by now, but we didn't.
Yeah. How did we do that?
Oh, this is the unedited thingy.
You're getting raw power tonight, raw folks. Raw power.
Powerful.
Free range.
Organic, right. Homegrown. Anyway, so yeah, after Ross the Boss was Glory Hammer.
Glory Hammer, yeah.
Unironically, Glory Hammer is one of the bands I was most excited to see, because they're the type of band who, even though they're like overly popular, low-level, entry-level power metal, I know they can put on a hell of a good show. Their songs are very sing-along, anthemic type stuff. Get the crowd going, which is like my favorite kind of show. I describe them as being sort of like WWE mixed with power metal, because they're all doing the characters. And they have these bits that they do where it's like, oh, they're fighting the goblin or the wizard, and it's just good fun. So I was very, very pleased with seeing Glory Hammer, even though they did have a lot of sound issues, especially early on. Thomas's microphone was legit off during the first, like, 70% of Rise of the Chaos Wizards. Yeah. Although turning it back on for the last chorus was kind of cool, I suppose.
Yeah, it was 100% off until the last chorus started, and then he realized that it wasn't on.
And then we were talking to Chris Bowes afterward, and I guess like their mixing or their in-ear monitors were like totally fucked up. So like they would hear like only the guitars or only the synths, and just nothing made sense. And so they were like off key, and the crowd didn't give a shit. They were just going with it. But I think the band was freaking out. But I was very happy with their performance. Yeah, one thing I didn't expect was just how much of a beast Chris is on the keyboards when he's actually... Yeah. Playing, going for it. He's not just getting drunk and memeing around. He's putting on a show.
He's also getting drunk.
He is getting drunk. Don't get me wrong.
He's a legit keyboard player.
He is getting drunk and memeing around for sure, but he's also a fucking monster on the keyboard.
Yeah. He's tickling
those
ivories.
He's really into it. That was nice to watch.
He's doing like trick keyboard shit where he like gets down on his knees and plays the keyboard.
Yeah, it's a very dedicated performer. So then next up was Nocturnal Rites. They're a band going in. I knew that they existed, and I have listened to them, but I don't remember a damn thing about them. But
you remembered all the choruses, though.
I didn't know the choruses. I just kind of hummed the general tune because I didn't know the fucking lyrics.
You were singing.
I was pretending to sing.
Oh, okay.
I was getting into it with the crowd.
Yeah.
So we started this one up in the bleachers, or whatever the seats would be called. But
also, we definitely took small micro-naps.
We were recharging. We had to recharge.
Very small micro-naps.
It's like, I was getting tired.
During the first 3 to 4 songs.
I was tired. I needed to get my strength back.
Micro-naps.
But the songs were like, hey, these songs are really good. And like the crowd's getting really into it. I need to be there. I need to feel this energy. That's why we came to Prog Power, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Mr. Biscuit and I got back in there, and we were having a hell of a good time. Nocturnal Rites really surprised me with just the energy that their performance had. I need to make sure I check out their music after the event is over.
To piggyback on that before it's my turn, Nocturnal Rites was also the first band to play that had 2 guitars.
Yep.
I think that really helped a lot. I think Glory Hammer would definitely benefit from having a second guitar live.
Or a first one. Hey!
The second guitar for Glory Hammer would really like help them drive in their quote-unquote riffs. It would keep it a little more high energy. But back to Nocturnal Rites, second guitar was great. 2 guitars, 2 words, 2 Geddens.
2 Geddens.
I don't know.
This is the dumbest fucking meme.
That wasn't forced at all.
But yeah, I don't know any Nocturnal Rites songs. Some of the choruses sounded vaguely familiar, but they were real fun to headbang to. I got into like a little crowd next to all the troublemaking mosh pit kids that kept like crowd surfing against the rules and whatnot.
The people next to us were really cool during that.
Yeah, no.
They were our bros.
Yeah. All of our people around us during Nocturnal Rites were super cool. I hope we see them again. I remember their faces. It'll be a good time.
Nocturnal Rites also had like at least 5 last songs.
Yeah.
They kept milking it.
Yeah. Like they said, oh, this is the last song. And then I was the only person in the audience that yelled, one more song.
They were like halfway through the set.
And then it was only halfway through the set. So they put like 5 more. Oh, 100% on me. They wouldn't have done it without me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They went, oh, I guess we're just done.
For the biscuit.
Yo, that guy who just said he wants another song.
That's it. Got to do it. Also, they had like a bag full of fucking guitar picks.
Oh, they were tossing out fucking handfuls.
Confetti.
Yeah.
It was like they had fucking like a candy. Bag of
them. It was ridiculous.
Right at the start, they started tossing.
Like, it was great.
You guys are gonna run out.
Like, everyone and their mom got a guitar pick.
I got a guitar pick.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Some random dude in front of me got extra guitar picks, and he just gave me a guitar pick.
I don't care. I got a guitar pick.
It's in my wallet.
I'm going to go buy a guitar, learn how to play, and use that guitar pick. I'm going to be as good as the fucking guitarist for Nocturnal Rites. That guy was insane.
Nocturnal Rites cover band. Starring Zelda Fan and Larry Biscuit.
Daytime
Lefts. Yes.
Daytime Lefts.
Well, right. There is an actual word for opposite of nocturnal.
It's like supernal or something.
It's dumb is what it is. So
daytime.
I agree.
Daytime Lefts. We sorted this out already.
And then after Nocturnal Rites was Voyager.
Voyager, who was the proggiest
That's
of
a,
the night.
Voyager is a like can of worms. Right?
Voyager.
Voyager was a lot of things.
They did all the things.
They were the headliner tonight, so they had the longest show. So
I didn't know what Voyager was for about an hour. Africa.
Yeah, so we listened to the first couple songs, weren't feeling it. Some people went to get food. Some of us dipped out and partied with Chris Bowes for a bit.
Yep.
He gave us a spoiler alert. He said, okay, yo, when they do a bass solo, I'm going to come in with my guitar. And we're like, whoa. So we saw them doing the bass solo. And then we headed back in, and lo and behold, like, their singer starts busts out his guitar, and then Chris Bowes comes out with his guitar, and they start dueling guitars, which was really sick.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
So
It was the first guitar battle ever at Prog Power, according to some announcer guy.
The singer of Voyager said
singer?
That.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the singer. Was it the singer, or was it, like, a Prog Power guy?
I think it was the singer.
The singer had the long hair to one side.
He was so progressive, he had an undercut.
It wasn't even an undercut. It was, like...
It was the Skrillex haircut.
But
he had it, like, cut down, like, the left side of his head was shaved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the right side was, like...
Super long.
Waist length.
But so Voyager, they were a voyage, is what I would say.
That's good.
They did a lot of stuff.
They were all over the place. They started with like electro pop, dancey stuff.
Yeah.
And then they eventually transitioned into like dark synth kind of stuff.
And then it got really like really chunky kind of.
Yeah,
like, prog metal.
They got a little genty. And then they're like, hey, we're gonna do a medley.
This is the best part.
And so they started the medley. They're doing all these songs that people know. Next thing you know, they start doing All Star by Smash Mouth.
I was dying laughing at this
so
point.
So I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. I'm into this. They've got a sense of humor. They know what's up.
After that, it was Sandstorm by Derude.
They did Derude Sandstorm after that.
I got pretty hyped at that.
Do we have video of that?
I got a little bit of it.
Okay.
I can upload it
some video. We'll put that up at some point.
And what else did they do?
And then after that, they did Toto Africa.
They blessed those rains down in Africa.
They blessed the rains hard, my dude.
There was a lot of blessing rains. So like, they said they're contractually obligated to do this, and I don't doubt that because the promoters for Prog Power spent like a solid month or two just posting nothing but Africa memes.
Which is cool. Africa memes are all right. I'm really on the Africa train. I'm a big fan of this song.
It's a fine song, and I'm glad that they played it. And they also brought out like the whole staff. To like dance along to it, which
that,
was neat.
No, they didn't bring out the staff to dance along to Africa.
It was like some song.
Big booty something.
Something rather. But
big booty bitches?
I don't know if something. It was big booty. They didn't say bitches.
No. The finale.
It wasn't even a finale. They still had like three power metal songs after that.
Yeah. And then they after that, they did some more prog. And then they went back to their power metal roots and played, White Shadow,
I think was the name of it.
White Shadow, I think is the name of the
song. And
then
they had like the Revolution or something like
that.
And
then they did an encore.
Yeah, the encore was also kind of powery.
Yeah, it was very prog power. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, proggy AF. I don't know if they're totally my thing. I think I was more into the weird meme stuff than the actual music that they played.
My big takeaway is I didn't think I would like Voyager at all. But once we got back out onto their set, and I was sitting down in the bleachers, and I was relaxed. I was sipping a beer, sitting next to my boy Kyle, Zelda.
That's me.
sitting next to my boy Zelda. I realized this is exactly what I needed to end my first night of Prog Power. It was exactly the space of mind I needed to be put into.
But your night didn't end there.
No, it did not end there.
No, it didn't.
At all.
No. That's a story for another time.
Do we continue with that story? Or we got more drinks. We met more people. Our friend Ben got way too drunk. Isn't that right, Ben?
Yes.
Yes.
I think he's mostly fine at this point. But this point is also like he's 3 hours later.
Ben is nice. Ben is a nice human being. He's a role model.
Model citizen.
Role model father.
He's our father figure, and he's trying to keep up with his kids.
So did we miss anything? Do you guys have any other thoughts on day one so far?
I want to say
Pizor. What did you hate?
Pizor, what did you hate?
That was a great start. Well, I fell asleep during Nocturnal Rites.
Oh, we all did.
Quite literally.
We already said that, though. We all did.
Yeah, but it was like the entire second half.
I blame
it. Yeah, like we were seating for the whole thing. And
yeah, I knew that.
When he did the first, this is the last song, I went to Darko.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, you know, they're finishing soon, wake up. And they didn't. I'm like, okay.
You should have stood up with us because we were into it. We had tons of energy.
Okay. After the micro.
Okay, so the thing is that
the nap was needed.
Sitting at a metal show to me is like, okay, energy goes down to -10. I shouldn't be sitting down, so I just go into nap mode. It's just like that.
And you gotta recuperate somehow.
The thing is that whenever I was paying attention, the music was very hard rocky. Like background music on a bar, I didn't feel like actually going to the pit and whatever, so I was dozing off, honestly. I liked two songs from the start of the set. I have no idea the names, but I looked for them. They were the fast ones, and one at the end.
Yeah, I need to look up the set list.
And I wasn't feeling Voyager at all. Like, I wasn't in the mood for the stuff that they started with, so I bailed. Sorry.
They were kind of all over the place. So I mean, it was definitely interesting.
As a band, they weren't really like that on all their albums.
Yeah.
So I need to check out their albums and see what they're actually like.
I didn't actually go, but from what I've heard from you guys, they sound completely different from
Feralis.
The three albums I've heard.
Feralis, our buddy, would really like them. I think if he doesn't already know them. Because he's like a huge fan of Haken? Yeah. Haken?
I saw a guy with a Haken shirt.
Yeah.
However you pronounce it. Huge fan of that. And there were a lot of moments where I'm like, oh, wow. These guys are like really Haken-y.
Haken.
But that's super just the prog, I guess.
I like how proggy is a word that we've started using.
Voyager. Australia.
So, yeah. So. Let's go around. And everyone rate their day one or day.
I want to mention a thing first. Like, I really like the way the festival is set up. The fact that we can go out and in at any time, and there's still food in there. Any festival I've been to, you don't get the kind of, like, we had pizzas there that were really nice. And there was this tacos.
Tacos are pretty good.
Yeah, food and alcohol.
Good drinks.
Decent, and not unreasonably priced.
And functioning bathrooms. And just the fact that you can go out and have a meal elsewhere if you want. And you can come back in at any point during the day. And it's so long. That was really nice. And the fact that the place actually has a functioning AC that can keep you relatively cool. Besides the point that we're in the middle of the fucking dump.
For Atlanta.
Fine Atlanta. Any Atlanta people here? Atlanta's great.
I have really enjoyed Atlanta as someone from Arizona. I thought it was beautiful all day.
Yeah, I like the place, but I'm not used to this. I don't like the heat, so that's not your fault, but I don't like the heat. But the venue had an AC working that I couldn't believe that actually kept us cool.
Also, I loved how the venue is partitioned. It's you go into the stage area, and it's got stadium seating, and it's got the stage, and it's got the floor, and you know, all that shit. And then there are legitimate, like, 75% soundproof doors. Because you can't be 100% soundproof.
It's like a proper theater.
Yeah, it's like a proper theater. right?
It's a proper fear, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you go out the doors and then it's relatively quiet.
And you can
in the bar slash bathroom slash hangout slash food area. It was super nice.
They even have TVs showing what the band is currently doing. So we could keep an eye on Voyager even while we were talking to whoever.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So,
what would you guys say was your favorite thing or your most surprising thing? Or what's your takeaway from day one?
Just what I just said.
All right. Well, okay. Well, not counting you, obviously.
What about you?
I would say my favorite thing was Glory Hammer. I thought that was a ton of fun. Most surprising thing, just would be either how much I enjoyed Nocturnal Rites or just the memes and shit from Voyager. That was something. I'm glad I didn't bail early and I was able to experience that.
Chris Bowes is exactly like I expected him to be.
Nice guy.
He's real nice. He, like I described our reaction or our interactions earlier, I'm like, he's like me, but with musical talent.
Whoa.
Like I said on multiple occasions, Chris may be a shitty piece of shit meme lord, but he is very good at what he does. Like we said earlier, he plays keyboard phenomenally well. He's a very nice guy. When Ben introduced us, I'm like, hey, I'm Larry, I banned your ass. And he's like, yeah, high five.
You know that 80% of the people listening to this don't know what that means?
I banned him on Reddit. His band, yeah. Whatever. But yeah, it was good. He's a real nice guy. He felt very genuine. We talked about, a couple different things, not necessarily just his stuff, but it was a good time. It was exactly what I expected him to be.
That's nice.
Which isn't a bad thing at all.
I should have said hi. Peter,
what did you least hate?
Damn it. This is gonna be my thing.
Yes.
The vocalist for Ross the Boss.
Oh, he was really good.
Really good.
He was 100% spot on for Manowar.
Hitting that stuff that Eric does really well, but not sounding like he's just copying him.
Yeah, we actually talked about that with him.
That's exactly what we talked about.
Yeah. At the bar after.
Damn it!
Yeah. I was like, hey man, I don't know what your name is, but you sound exactly like him, but different. And we talked about how it's like a cover band but not, / a tribute band but not, because like it's Ross the Boss's stuff.
Because
he wrote it.
Got the hell out of there.
Yeah. he wrote all of it, but it's not the band technically. But and like what a cover / tribute band should do for the source material. Should they just be a carbon copy? Should they put a spin on it? That sort of thing. Like make it their own versus just 100% tribute.
He really brought the energy. It can't be easy being the first band of the first day, and maybe not everyone's even shuffled in yet, and you're just giving it 110%.
They're also quite a bit different than a lot of the style. A lot of the other band styles, they're much more.
This is more straight heavy metal,
versus much more modern.
Especially Manowar. Manowar is such a divisive band anyway. Like people either love Manowar or people absolutely hate Manowar.
Or you're just afraid
Manowar.
Of yourself.
there isn't a middle ground.
Everyone loves Manowar.
Worst band ever.
There is not a middle ground on Manowar fans. You either really love them or you're like.
Or you're afraid.
Or you're afraid of yourself.
Get it in.
I'm terrified of myself. So I will not be hailing or killing.
Ben?
Hailing Odin.
Yeah, I hail Odin. Yeah.
What's your take on the day, Ben?
Yeah, Ben. Hot take, day one.
Day one. Awesome.
Ben's a regular.
Yeah.
Sort of.
For a year. Manowar, not too familiar, but. Fucking killer set at Glory Hammer. I was looking forward to that and it was awesome. Thomas, killer stage presence.
Yeah, I love the stage antics.
Really, it's crowd going. Everything I was hoping for.
I remember some older footage. He didn't sound too good live, but he seemed pretty good now.
He's on good. They all, because they all sang a beat. They sounded very good.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was some older footage where he sounded just way off.
Yeah, I saw...
I can imagine
it's,
that.
It's probably just, you know, being a bit newer to touring, but yeah. It definitely seems like he's improved a lot.
There's some footage of them at Wacken a couple years ago where he sounds totally off, but Chris apparently said that, again, their, like, in-ear monitors weren't working. And when that happens, Tom just kind of goes for it and he fucks his voice.
That's what I've heard.
So I can totally
like he goes
see
hard
that.
If he can't hear himself. Yeah, so that he can hear himself over everything else.
Exactly, yeah. That's what wrecks you.
Yeah. Because, like, if you can't hear yourself, you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
We need to get Glory Hammer a good, a decent monitor guy. Monitor mixer guy.
We know this firsthand from karaoke yesterday.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Nova Era? That's a loud song.
Full Moon.
Gotta sing loud.
We did, like, all, like, your power metal bangers right there.
Yeah.
Man, I only sang, to, like, part of Bohemian Rhapsody, and my throat still hurts.
I was singing, like, every Glory Hammer song.
I don't even remember doing Bohemian Rhapsody, so...
There'll be some footage on our page, probably.
You should have seen it, because I posted some of the stuff already.
Some of it's posted. I think we're gonna get more.
It was a good time.
Oh, my.
It's a good time.
More video than the rest of you.
Yeah, there was a lot of good. There's a bunch of hidden gems.
Yeah.
Very hidden gems.
That soon to be unhidden.
Soon to be uncovered. Yeah. Stay tuned to our social media channels.
Not so.
So you can.
And then Coil, how was your day in Atlanta?
Very relaxing driving Darko up from Tampa, Florida.
You're the best, buddy.
Yes. Very relaxing.
Coil's not going until day 3.
No, I'm actually not going.
He's not going.
Oh, right. You're not going at all.
Yep, just came here for vacation.
Just hanging out.
He's hanging out with the boys.
Holding the fort.
Having a nice time.
Yeah, relaxing, not in the heat.
Enjoying the fireplace in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Very glorious bathroom.
He's just hanging out. Good time. He went to the after party. Yeah, that's where we'll find Coil.
We're going to sneak you guys into the after party every day.
Quote unquote sneak. You just kind of walk in.
You just walk in.
Yeah.
Look like a metal dude. No one's going to question it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so strange because the Artmore is just this quaint little hotel. And then just this onslaught of guys with long hair and black shirts.
Well, like, no one even goes inside. It's just in the courtyard.
Yeah, but it makes sense because it's filled with people that go to Brook Power. So
it's the closest hotel.
And actually, in the when you go into the little yard, they had a little sign like welcoming all the people that go to Brook Power.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Probably it's just full of all the people, half the people there are staying there. So it's nice that this happens. We talked to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's I'm really only one day. But I am really enjoying the whole vibe.
This is a great.
Everyone's
a great
really nice, but that's just metal in general. Like, in my experience, people in metal are super nice. Even if they're really elitist, they're still very nice people.
At the after party, like, this is after, like, 6+ hours of metal.
Yeah.
Probably a few, at least, beers. And
people are still.
It's like
super
one
nice.
In the morning, and everyone's
into it.
Yeah,
it was a good time. It's a good vibe. Also, Galnerius is there next year, so I'm definitely coming back.
Yeah, that's another thing we need to talk about.
That's a little bit
we mentioned that.
Like help, but like even if Galnerius wasn't here next year, I would definitely consider making this a yearly thing.
Yeah, just after one day, we have now almost created a tradition for Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm very sold after just one
day. Me and Zelda are definitely coming back next year. Ben's coming back next year. Who knows about other people?
And
but
they announced Galnerius is going to be there.
Yeah, Galnerius.
Yeah, that's a huge
Galnerius is what the... Not insane. Even the closer on day two. I don't remember who the closer is. It wasn't as good as Galnerius.
It was Evergrey.
But, yeah, I don't know anything about Evergrey. No offense to Evergrey if they're listening.
They're fine.
Yeah, I'm sure
I don't know anything about you. But Galnerius... Whew.
Man,
that's a one night only show.
But imagine if they also had Yama B in there too. What a show.
Like, Galnerius is not gonna play any other dates in the country. I'm 100% sure. So it's gonna be a good time.
Just watch their visas get fucked up and
see. Yeah, right.
I would hope not.
Oh no,
it's been a recent string of
also problems. Day one is like crazy stacked.
They had Iron Mask.
Iron Mask, Secret Sphere, and two other bands that I can't recall right now.
Mayhem.
So stacked that you can't remember.
Wasn't that it too?
Mayhem.
Yeah. I wrote that.
They had Tomorrow's Eve, Pretty Maids.
Pretty
Maids is a huge act.
I think I'm missing
that
one.
That was Ronnie Atkins, right?
Day one is Iron Mask, Secret Sphere, Insomnium with Pretty Maids headline.
Yes.
So that's a really big list.
And then what's day two?
And then Thursday is Tomorrow's Eve, which seems to be a supergroup kind of thing. It's got Portnoy in it.
They had the members of the band like named during the video.
Yeah, and then Mayan, which is like an even bigger supergroup.
Is it?
I never heard.
There were like 10 people on stage in the promotional video.
I don't think it's not a supergroup. It's just a large group. Like,
it could be.
Band could be the real frontline.
And then Evergrey and Galnerius. Other way around. Galnerius and then Evergrey.
I want to see Galnerius.
Yeah. Galnerius is kind of just overshadowing everything for me right now.
Send
like, that's an amazing get. I'm super impressed on that.
Send Galnerius to South America, please.
Yeah, and that's Prog Power 20. That'll be the 20th one.
Apparently 25 is supposed to be, like, fucking batshit insane.
25 is supposed to be insane. 20 is also supposed to be up there. So, I don't think we find out day 3 and 4 gigs until a couple more days.
Friday.
But yep. Friday, so I'm looking forward to that. Any more thoughts to wrap up day one, boys? It's almost 4 a.m.
This went a lot longer than planned.
Yeah, we would say, like, let's do a short 10-minute thing, and it's been...
This ended up being, like, a full episode.
31 minutes.
So we're just going to end up having this massive episode from
pretty
this
much.
Vacation?
Maybe we can.
We else. Can edit it.
So this will be, like, 14A.
We also have to have a Halloween impression.
And then we'll do 14B and 14C and 14D and 14E. So look forward to Prog Power Days 2, 3, 4, and Pumpkins United in Chicago, Illinois, United States of America.
Stay powerful for another week of us going fucking crazy.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of random content.
We need to be telling ourselves to stay powerful at this point. We need it.
Is the final day, the final episode just going to be us going...
That's part of this experiment. Is like every day we're gonna get weaker.
Yeah. No. We're gonna stay powerful.
We're gonna stay powerful, boys.
Stay powerful. Powerful.
Powerful.
1, 2, 3. Everyone go powerful. 1, 2, 3.
Powerful.
That was awful.
Yeah. Perfect.